Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.com. I hope you're well. It's St. Patrick's Day and we're recording here. And oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. What am I doing? Hang
on. Welcome to another Arsblog Arscast. Yeah. On Arsblog.
The beauty of St. Patrick's Day. But no, I am eschewing the beer, and the wine, and the rum, and vodka, and the gin, and the vomiting, and the fighting, the falling over, the splitting your head open, the accident and emergency, the stitches, the infection, the pus. I'm eschewing all the good things about this wonderful day of ours. Instead, I'm sitting home and making sure there's an arsecast for you. And what an arsecast, I have to tell you, what an arsecast. We're trying to get beyond the misery of going out of the FA Cup last weekend, so something a little bit different. Joining me in a few moments' time to discuss his life at Arsenal Football Club is Stuart McFarlane, who you may or may not know is the official club photographer. So we'll find out exactly what his job entails, how it's changed down through the years, what the players are like to take pictures of, and some of his favourite memories and favourite photographs. That's still to come. We have got Internet Joe, we've got Arshavin, and as well as that, your chance to win some fairly awesome gear thanks to Pele Sports. I've got two pairs of football boots. I've got some t-shirts and some zip-ups and all that to give away a little bit later on in the show. So there's plenty to keep you occupied between now and whenever this thing finishes. So, football. It hasn't been good. It wasn't good, particularly last weekend when we played Manchester United away from home in the FA Cup. And I looked at their team, and like many of you, I thought, you know what, we probably have a fairly good chance here, given the fact that they're playing seven defenders from the start, playing two fullbacks in midfield, none of the big star, no Fletcher, no Scholes, no Giggs, no Carrick, no, what's his face, the curly Canadian con, Hargreaves, none of him. And I was thinking, you know, we could really do something here, and we played reasonably well. But when it came right down to it, in terms of cutting edge, we didn't have any. And United, when they were presented with chances, took the chances. They took advantage of poor defending. They took advantage of our weakness down the left-hand side. And despite the fact we had all the ball and all the possession and more shots on goal, probably, we never really troubled Van der Sar that much. He had a good game. He made some good saves. But really, we struggle to score there. And we struggle very often to turn all the chances and all the possession we have into real, real goal-scoring opportunities. Now, of course, we were without some players, some important players. But then, so were they. And, you know, they won. And maybe it's just a bad spell we're going through, or maybe we just have a fundamental weakness in that we can't win games that we should. And the sign, they always say, of a very good team is playing badly and winning. More often than not, when we play badly, we lose. We've scrapped out a few results this season, but on the days when we've played really badly, we've dropped points. And United, not that they played particularly badly, but they didn't have to do a great deal to win, did they? So we've gone from a situation where we're in four competitions and we're talking quadruples, and now we're down to the one-tuple, and, you know, if we don't get a result this weekend, then it's a non-tuple, probably, even though there's lots of football still to play. 10 games and the whole lot, but, of course, the game against United was compounded by an injury to Johan Giroud. And his importance is underlined by the fact we haven't lost a league game with him in the team since 2008. Now, some of that, of course, is the fact that he didn't play at all in 2009, or 10, or one of them. But there's no denying the centre of our defence looks better when he's in it. Whether he's alongside Koscielny or Skilacci, we look better and more solid defensively when he's in the team. Of course, he has some moments himself, some dodgy moments, but then who doesn't? And now we're left in a situation where we have two fit centre-halves. Alex Song, who could fill in there, is unfit. And beyond that, we've got Ignacy Mikel, who is a young Spaniard. And, you know, it's a big step up from reserve team football to the first team, and a first team that is trying to win the Premier League title. It's not so much a step up as you would need a great big ladder to get up there. And while you're up there, it's difficult. And it will be very difficult to expect that young man to come into the team and perform to a high level. And a curious thing today, given that Thomas Vermaelen has been ruled out for the rest of the season, Arsene Wenger said today at his press conference, "I never expected him back," which goes against everything he said in January. He said he'll be back in 6 weeks. So it's a funny thing for him to say. And if he didn't ever expect him back, why didn't we do something in January? Even a loan signing in January would have fit the bill. And here we are, with no Vermaelen, no Giroud, arguably the two best central defenders at the club, and we're going into a title run-in in games with massive, massive pressure, and we've shown, probably when the pressure's on, that we don't cope with it terribly well, and with a partnership that has done okay at times. I know people have their concerns about Koscielny, and I have those exact same concerns. But they haven't been terrible every single time they've played together. They've done all right at times, so we need them to do all right between now and the end of the season. So it's all a bit, you know, dark and gloomy and all the rest. But we were lightened, I suppose brightened, by the news that Jens Lehmann is coming back. Maybe it's a sign of how mad Arsene has gone. Maybe it is that 10 games from the end of a season in which we can win the league title, we're put in a situation where we need an emergency goalkeeper. So who do we get? Do we get somebody from a club who could come in and probably sit there on the bench or do all right? He's come for Jens Lehmann, 41-year-old who's retired a year and who has, well, you would say, a checkered history with the man who's going to be understudying, and that's Manuel Almunia. Arsene says today that Jens will come in and he'll provide motivation for Almunia, and I accept that, and I can see lots of good points about bringing Jens back, because he's been there, gone the distance in a league title. He was the keeper for the Invincible season. He knows what it's like to go into the final games of the season. None of the rest of them do, really. So from that point of view, the experience, and maybe he can calm things down. Or maybe he can focus them. Or maybe he can tell them what's expected and what they need to do. Because they seem a little bit rudderless at times. So from that point of view, I can see the benefits of it. If you step right back from it, though, if you step back from it, you go, well, he signed a 41-and-a-half-year-old goalkeeper. This is a bit weird. So let's hope that it's an inspired signing in the sense that it does provide the dressing room with the boost it needs and with maybe just that bit of experience and calmness and experience that is missing going into these final 10 games of the season. So there you go. That's been the week that's in it. The rest of the time has been very quiet. The club have been very quiet in general, which is what usually happens when it's a disappointing week, and that's no bad thing either. We can let the doom and gloom wash over us and get ready for this weekend's game against West Brom. But now, to some of the rest of the week, here's Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe. Now's my 32nd roundup. United away, FA Cup, the double is still on. Look at that United team, 16 defenders. We're going to smash them. 1-0, fucking Brazilians. I hate triplets. Van der Sar, stop it, will you? You're older than me granda. Seriously. Oh, Jesus, 2-0. It's all over now. Still good news. Ramsey's back. Bad news. Giroud's dead. What's this? Jens Lehmann coming back to fill the gap? No way.
More from Internet Joe on next week's Arsecast. Now, we know a lot about the club. We know the manager, the players, the coaches, the assistant manager, the medical staff, the board. We know all about the kids that are coming through. We know pretty much everything about everything. But you think about the pictures that you see on the Arsenal website. What do we know about the official club photographer and what his job entails? Not terribly much. So I'm delighted to welcome to the show the official Arsenal club photographer, Stuart McFarlane. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, it's a job, I suppose everybody is aware of your work because of the pictures that they see on the official website and in the magazine, etc., etc. But how long have you been doing it, and how did you come to get the job as the club photographer at Arsenal?
Well, I've been here, this is my 10th year as full-time staff. But before that, I worked for a local sports agency who were contracted to Arsenal just to cover home and a few away matches. That was my contract when I worked there, and that started in 1990. So as the club got bigger, they were looking for someone to come in as staff, and in 2000, they approached me to come, and obviously I didn't really have to think too much about it. I said yes straight away.
The job, obviously, from probably when you started working for that agency, the job now are very different, I would imagine, in the sense that the technology has changed and maybe the demands of the job have changed as well in terms of how quickly you need to turn things around. I mean, I suppose it's been a relatively seamless adaptation, but perhaps you could give us an idea of what's different now from way back then.
Well, when I first... The first jobs I did for Arsenal, it was just purely match action, and that was it. But as soon as I came in as staff, there was plans to build a new stadium. So Ken Fry sent me round to the site that the Emirates is on now to photograph the area to make it look as dirty as possible, really, and as grimy as possible. so really, that was the big start of it, probably the stadium construction, and then... As well as the match stuff, we do a lot of community work. So there's two of us now. We go into schools with our coaches, photograph kids getting after school football coaching, and also educational classes. So it's not purely just the football side. It's really Arsenal in the community as well, which is quite a huge part of our work here.
And from a technological point of view as well, obviously things are different. Has the move to all things digital, I mean, I presume that's made life a lot easier.
Yeah, when I first started, it was all film. You'd hand develop all your film. So your turnaround on pictures was quite slow. But now you press a button and then the picture appears on the screen. I still don't understand how it works. I still just press the button. I'm still amazed every time I see a picture come up. But it makes life so much easier not to be knee-deep in chemicals and having to dry film with hair dryers and stuff like that. Now it's a very clean, very quick process. We can get pictures up on the website in 5 minutes. So it makes our life a lot easier, but we seem to have more work. The easier the job becomes, technically wise, the bigger the club's getting, the more jobs we have to cover.
So there's a greater expectation because you can turn things around much more quickly. You can do this, 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 and this, whereas before you would have been developing.
Yeah, and there's the agency I used to work at was it covered a lot of rugby and a lot of football. So you go to a rugby match or a football match, you come back, you dump your film in the office and you'll go for a pint. But now the it's changed, you know, it's work first, and then once all your work's done, you can relax. So there's a massive sort of change in culture in this industry.
What's a typical match day like then for you? What sort of time do you get to the ground? Let's say a home game. Do you have a specific routine? Are there expectations? I mean, do you have to take certain pictures of the players coming in, or how does it work?
Well, we had for a 3 o'clock kickoff, generally, we would have a list of jobs to cover from various departments. So there will be sponsors, a few sponsors' pictures. We've had some new areas built at the stadium, the new Woolwich areas. So every couple of matches, we'll be asked to go up and do some generic pictures around there. But it's really, we're here for every department at the club. So on a match day, each department will maybe have a list of stuff they want us to do. and we're sort of on our feet, really, running around from about maybe 11 o'clock in the morning. And it's only the only time you sit down is really when the game starts, and then a few bits and pieces at half time, and then maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours work after the game. Mm. So it's not. The best bit is the match. That's when you can sit down and relax, really. The rest of the time spent running around.
Do you, when it's time for the match, do you stay in one particular area, or do you move around, you know, to try and capture shots depending on which end Arsenal are playing into, etc.?
Yeah, generally, well, there's two of us. There's myself and David, the other photographer. So we, on certain games, we'll both cover Arsenal attack, but if there's a goalkeeper or a defender that we need, we haven't got much of, we'll move around to try and get a few shots of them. Because if you just concentrate on Arsenal attack all the time, then you end up with a library of strikers and midfield players and no goalkeepers or defenders. Mm. So we tend to move. But in the really, really big games, like, say, Barcelona, for example, we'll just both concentrate on Arsenal attack because, you know, that is such a big game, whereas a league game, we can afford to move around a little bit.
What about non-match days? In terms of, you spoke about the promotional stuff that you've got to do, and I think people who might follow you on Flickr who know your account on there will see a lot of the off-field stuff, and some of the photos are quite quirky and interesting and different angles. What's it like working with the players? Because I assume, like most of us, there are some of them that really enjoy having their picture taken and are quite the characters, and others who would prefer to do anything other than have their picture taken.
To be fair, they're a really good group, and I think because we work with them regularly, they know us, they trust us. There's none that will run away from having their picture taken. There's some more than others, but someone like Andrea Sharvin always hides his face. he thinks it's funny for some reason, but most of them are okay. When I'm at a training session, they don't even take any notice because I've been around in their eye. I've been around longer than virtually all the players, so I'm just sort of part of the furniture, really. So some of them play up a little bit, but they never turn around and say, don't do that or don't do this. They're pretty easygoing, really.
What about down the years? I mean, who have been...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. I'm thinking of someone like Ian Wright, for example, that might have been someone who was a character who really enjoyed it or played up for the cameras. Have there been any down the years that have done that consistently?
Yeah, they're all really good, actually. There's not really been any always turn their back, but from the current crop. Alex Song is very loves having his picture taken, and Emmanuel Abouy. There are some that just look for me when they walk out for training and make stupid faces. But thinking back, really, I think this lot are probably a little bit more open and engaging than the former players.
Oh, well, I was going to ask, is that a generational thing? Because what we have, I don't know, you know, you look at stuff like social media and Facebook and Twitter you know, I'm of an age where I wouldn't necessarily be interested in sharing the minutiae of my life with everybody in pictorial form, whereas younger people these days, you know, they do, and they, you know, I've got a daughter who's nearly 20, and Facebook and Twitter, and there's pictures, and they all seem to enjoy having their picture taken and putting their pictures up without any sort of great shame or embarrassment, which I certainly would have. So maybe there's that to it.
Me too. Well, I give stuff to the players all the time, and certainly with Jack Wilshere, I regularly give him pictures that he puts up on his his Flickr, and a few of the boys as well, and quite a lot of them now have got their own websites, and we supply a lot of images for them. So really, they're happy to have their picture taken. I regularly get emails from their agents and people who do their websites for updates of pictures. And David, the other photographer here, does a lot of work with the reserve team, and after virtually every game he gets a whole load of emails from the players asking for them to send pictures through to him. You know, it's a positive thing for them that we're around, and you know, it's nice for us to be able to, you know, to give these guys pictures that helps them promote themselves and helps them promote the football club.
And you wouldn't really have any worries about them taking your job when you look at some of the pictures that they put up, the stuff on Twitter, for example, the homemade pics of people sleeping on the coach, etc. Quality isn't the issue, is it?
I don't really follow Twitter. I look on it occasionally, but I know that Jack tries to catch players out on the coach sleeping, but I've been on the coach and I've got a picture of him sleeping, which I sent around. So it's all good natured. I think the ones who don't want to be involved in it don't have their Twitter accounts, but generally, I think it seems to be a bit of a competition to see who can, amongst them, to see who can get the most amount of pictures of someone asleep while they're travelling to and from the game.
What are some of your favourite photographs from down the years, maybe from a match or memories, maybe last day at Highbury, something like that? Are there any that really stick in your mind? And for you, what makes a great photo?
Well, I did have a look through some of my stuff last night, but it's from a game. You shoot a game of football, and then at the end of it, I'm never happy. You might get a few, you know, nice set of action pictures, but I've never got the ultimate action picture yet. So it would be something that's a little bit slightly different to a match picture. Say the last game at Highbury, I just did a lovely picture of the dressing room before the players arrived with all the shirts hanging up. The old dressing room stood up on the window ledge, which is one of my favourites, because it's a nice picture, and also because that was the last game. You know, that was it. And on that day as well, I got one really nice picture of, I think it was Dennis Bergkamp, Robert Pirès and Cesc Fabregas sitting in the dressing room after the game. It's not so much the picture, but just actually the moment. But there've been a few down the years. We won the league at Tottenham. I've got a nice picture of the manager standing in front of the Arsenal fans with his arms up. And right between his arms, hanging from the upper tier, was a banner that just said Arsenal knows. And luckily, it was just right behind his head, so that stands out. There's been so many. Patrick Vieira's last kick for Arsenal, the winning penalty against Man United. There's too many to mention, really. I'm not saying they're the best pictures ever, but they're ones that when I think back, I've been lucky to be with Arsenal at some very special moments, and I've been lucky enough to press the button on the camera at the right time. You know, getting the picture of the winning goal at Old Trafford, Silver and Wiltord goal. I'll remember that for the rest of my life, I think, and the whole day and the whole experience. Running down the middle of the pitch at Old Trafford with the Arsenal team. I don't think many photographers would be allowed to do that.
No.
So a lot of it's the pictures and the memories, they go together.
Sure. I mean, you say you haven't got the ultimate action shot yet. I mean, is there just an element of luck to it as well? When you talk about that one, for example, with Arsene, just the timing of it where you have the banner in the background, I mean, does that play a part? I mean, as much as your skill as a photographer, there's just an element of good fortune to a really great shot.
Yeah, definitely. If you know the way the team plays and you know players and you know what they do, certainly... When players celebrate goals, they go, certain players run one way, certain players go another. So you can cut the odds down on where you're going to get a nice celebratory picture. But action pictures, to be honest, anyone with a general skill at photography could get a couple of good action pictures from a game. But it's just, you're dependent on what the players do. You know, if there's a massive tackle picture and someone flies up in the air, and if you get it, you should get it because it's right in front of you. Mm. And if you don't get it, really, you shouldn't be in the job. But you can only really record what's in front of you, and that's what we try to do. I've got some lovely pictures in my Arsenal career, but I'd still sort of strive for the ultimate action picture. But I suppose if I was content with everything that I've shot now, I wouldn't be very ambitious.
Well, that's true. Well, we better leave it there, but I hope between now and the end of the season that you get the ultimate action shot, someone scoring the winning goal to win the title for us, and you're there to record it. Stuart, thank you very much indeed.
No problem at all.
That was Stuart McFarlane, the official club photographer for Arsenal. As he said himself, he's not really one for Twitter, but he is on Flickr. And there are some real gems on his Flickr page, I have to say. It's a bit difficult to call out the URL right now. Maybe you can go on and search for Stuart McFarlane and add him as a contact. If not, check today's blog. There's a link to his Flickr page there. And there's some really, really brilliant shots, including Patrick Vieira's last kick for Arsenal, the flight home from the Cup Winners' Cup in 94. And that picture he was talking about, Cesc Fabregas, Dennis Bergkamp and Robert Pires in the dressing room at Highbury. It's generational and it's pretty much awesome. How could any picture with those three not be completely awesome? And I'm going to give you a chance to win some cool stuff from Pele Sports in just a couple of moments' time after Arshavin.
Hello, this is Arshavin and having a terrible, terrible week. First lose to Manchester in Cup, and Manchester also have in team Twin. Arshavin don't like Twin because it's confusing, no? To have two people look same and you don't know which is him and which is not him. It's confused when you go to doctor, for example, and doctors say, I have bad news, are very sick. And he turn around and say, oh, doctor, not me, he's my brother. Also, don't like when one twin get punch in face, for example, other twin feel pain. Don't like this as a concept, is a freak of nature, which is why all twin and all triplet and all quadruplet and fiftlet and sixtlet should all to execute or maybe can fight until death, and the last one, he can live. Yesterday, in the training, I come in. I don't have training clothes. I have green. And I say to Vic, what is going on here? Why is I don't have training clothes? Have this green? And he say, because it is St. Patrick's Day, and you have to dress as a leprechaun. And instead of normal training, we have Chase Leprechaun Day. We are running and they are trying to catch, and Danielson, he catch me and he say, I have caught Leprechaun, where is a pot of gold? So I say, where is your family? And he say, at home. And I say, That's what you think.
More from Irish Avon in the very near future. Now, before we look ahead to the weekend's game, a competition for you, and a very interesting and very cool competition it is too. If you're a football player and you're playing on grass, then you're going to love two of the prizes, because it's performance 1970 boots retailing in and around €140 a pair, with thanks to Pelé Sports. I've got two pairs of those to give away, so two prize winners can have those. As well as that, I've got three zip-up tops, training tops or hoodies, and four T-shirts to give away, all from the Pelé Sports range. Now, the simple question is, given that yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, I'd like you to name me two Arsenal players called Patrick. Very simple, two Arsenal players called Patrick. Email your answers to competition@arsblog.com. That's competition@arsblog.com. If you're not interested in the boots, please, please say so in your email. Because the boots are very cool, and I want to make sure that the people who win the boots are people that are going to use them. So if you're just interested in the hoodies or the T-shirts, that's absolutely fine. Just put somewhere in your email that you're not interested in the boots. So competition@arsblog.com. The winners will be announced on next week's show, and it's thanks, of course, to Pelé Sports. That's pelé-sports.com, and you can find a link to their stuff and their Facebook page on today's blog. So get emailing, and the random number generator will do its thing on next week's show. So this weekend, we've got West Brom, and West Brom, well, they surprised us a little bit at home. 3-2 in the end. Nasri got a couple of late goals back. It just wasn't enough to hold the game back, but it was, well, it was a bit of a disaster that day. The penalty and Almunia and, oh, well, it all went a bit wrong that day. So we need to make sure it goes right, and we need, after the week we've had and the couple of weeks that we've had, having gone out of competitions and cup competitions, and Arsene has been talking about how the morale in the team isn't as good as it has been at certain other times, and that's understandable, but there can't be any going out and feeling sorry for ourselves. We really, really, really have to pick ourselves up and go out there and win tomorrow, because it's hugely important. 10 league games left, but we've got to make sure that we go into tomorrow's game fully focused, ready to put all the crap behind us and to put in a performance that we know we can put in. We're still missing some players. Theo Walcott is out. Cesc Fabregas is out. Obviously, two players that we're going to miss to a certain extent, but I think there's a little bit of injury management going on, shall we say, because after the West Brom game, there's a two-week interlull. So if either of those players were to play for us tomorrow, then their national teams could easily call them up and will be justified in doing so. But if they're missing games for us, it gives us that extra time to get them all fit again. I think Alex Song is missing as well. So we do have some absentees, but we've got enough quality, I think, to go out there and win it. And it's about getting the experienced heads and the ones with a bit of character to the fore and dragging this team across the line tomorrow, if that's what it takes. It's difficult to build momentum very quickly. And if we have to scrap a win out, if we have to scrape a win, if we get that one bit of luck that we haven't had for the last few weeks, then I'll be quite happy with that. We've got Jens Lehmann on the bench. Jens will be in the dressing room. Some excellent pictures on the official side of Jens and Manuel arm in arm, like old brothers reunited. We all know the truth, but it's nice to see anyway. And we've got to hope that this team can go into the interlull with the little bit of boost of confidence that a win tomorrow would bring. It's hard to think what it will be like if we don't win tomorrow and 2 weeks without any football. The doom would be just doomtacular, doomungus, doomerific, and 2 weeks of it without any way of putting it right. So it's really, really important for the team, for the fans, for everybody, that we get a bit of a lift in tomorrow's game. So let's keep fingers crossed that that happens, that we can lift ourselves up and head into this run-in with a bit more verve and vigour and vim and proper Arsenal-ness. A bit more Arsenal about us, and let's fucking put things right. So that's about that. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend. If you want to join me tomorrow for the live blog, if you can't find live coverage, join me for the live blog. There's live chat there as well. We'll keep you up to date with what's going on in the game, and you can chat away with other people. Details on the site tomorrow. So until then, and until next week's Arscast, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
It's the Mick Bednar Show with me, Mick Bednar. I'm deadly.
Hello there, I'm Mick Bednar, and I'm the greatest striker that ever lived. I'm better than Pele, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Robbie Fowler, and Tony Yeboah. On today's show, I'm going to relive one of my greatest ever moments when I went into a fully booked restaurant and they gave me the last table. And Bednar walks into the restaurant. Excuse me, have you got a table for two, please? No, sir, sorry, we're all booked up. Hang on, wait a minute, aren't you Mick Bednar? That's right, I'm Mick Bednar, the greatest striker that ever lived. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Bednar, you can come over here and sit in this table right here. Although it's booked, I'll give it to you because you are Mick Bednar. Everybody look, it's Mick Bednar. He's going to sit at that table over there. Don't look at him now, he's a star. Do you want to know what I have for me dinner? Carbonara.
It's the Mick Bednar Show with me, Mick Bednar. I'm deadly.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.